Thank you, Steve. And if you get hold of my grade 11 science textbook, could you please erase I Love Bridget from the back page there? Just, it's a little embarrassing. Now it's your turn. We have about 15 minutes to hear what you have to say. One of the things I want to end with, though, before I turn the microphones over to you, is you often hear in political discourse these days the term special interests. It gets thrown around and it's used often to attempt to discredit people who want to stand up and speak on behalf of something they believe in. We've heard today, by my count, from school board officials, teachers, principals, students, family workers, parents, just about everybody you can think of in the school community. And I don't think that is a special interest. I think that these groups who've come together with you here today have a special interest, and that's to make sure that our children get the best schooling they can possibly get. So, with that, 15 minutes, and please keep your remarks brief. As you can see, we're already getting a lineup here, and just out of fairness to the others who want to speak, make your remarks brief and to the point. We'll start at this microphone over here.
Thank you. My name is Alan Crawford, and I do belong to a special interest group. It's called People Who Care About Public Education. I've been a elementary school teacher, well, a public school teacher for 35 years, most of it in Vancouver, and I am currently serving as a full-time first vice president of the Vancouver Elementary School Teachers Association, and I would like to tell you two brief stories. The second of the stories comes about as a result of my work. People may recall years ago, a few years ago, a sad story about a car containing two 17-year-olds, twins, a young woman and a young man, broadsided, and the young woman was killed. There's still a memorial on the side of the road at 10th and Tolmie. I think that's the corner it was at. And what doesn't become common knowledge, of course, it was known that a stolen car was responsible. The 12-year-old driving the stolen car was, guess what? An inner-city school student who, what do you think, could read, couldn't read, could not read. Did he have much self-respect? I doubt it. Suspensions, playing hooky, previous car theft were all in his recent background. Now let me quickly give you an up-to-date story. This is about two six-year-old boys. Let me call them Lenny and Hector. They're in the same class. Lenny has moderate intellectual disabilities. He has major speech and language problems. He needs a high level of support. A Sunny Hill Hospital report says he needs one-to-one attention, and they seem to be correct because he's not able to actually do anything of any consequence without one-to-one attention. He's not a behavior problem yet. The other child, Hector, has a physical disability. He has speech and language problems. He has motor skill problems. He's a danger to himself. He's impulsive. He constantly interrupts. He jumps up. He knocks things over. He runs. He gets agitated easily. He's obsessive. He can't sit still. He's constantly moving. He recently fell and injured himself, not at school. Does the classroom teacher get support for these two six-year-old boys? Lenny gets no support. Hector gets 25% support. The principal says more support is needed for both of them, but the school would be fortunate to get anything at all, maybe something in September. This will be their third year in school for these boys, and they'll be doing without.
Alan, I'm going to interrupt because I see behind you five people and another five over here, and at that rate, that's 2 minutes each. That's 20 minutes. So if you could just wrap it up, I'd appreciate it.
Are my two stories related? Is the sad story about the 12-year-old boy who's a car thief and the current story about the two six-year-old boys? In 6 years, when one of these six-year-old boys exhibits considerably worse behavior, who's the criminal? The boy or the current Premier and Minister of Education?
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Marilyn Young. I am a retired ECE teacher, and I am totally disgusted with this provincial government in that they are showing tremendous irresponsibility. I don't know what it is about provincial, federal governments of all nations that seem to put, when they're making their changes to social policies, education and health, the children seem to be at the bottom of that list. And I am totally, totally disgusted, absolutely sick that this government is doing what it's doing. And I was fortunate enough to participate and attend a report back from the World Social Forum in Bombay, India, that just took place in January. And what came out of that really is mirrors what is coming here and how it's affecting our children in this province, particularly to our children who really have special needs. And all of them, they all have special needs at a lot of different levels. And this has to stop. We have to set up a task force to look through perhaps a gender equality lens, similar to the disability lens that is used as a measurement by the World Health Organization. And I feel that particularly for girls in our public education system, that we are the most vulnerable. And this is the 21st century, and we have to do something about this. We cannot continue to accept this.
Thank you.
And if I could just say one thing. One of the most popular statements to come out of the World Social Forum was, when Bush comes to shove, resist. What we have to do is when the provincial government comes calling and starts cutting, we have to resist, we have to speak up, we have to organize and fight back. Thank you.
Many thanks to the organizers and appreciation for the No Kids Cuts campaign. My name is Sal Vetro. I'm with the BC Unity Party, and we too agree with the No Kids to Cuts campaign. No cuts to kids, pardon me. I have three children in the school system, one in college, one in high school, and one in elementary. They're always asking me to pay more and more and more. Education, a valued public asset, the key to our children's future. The BC Liberals have cut $3 million from the inner city school program. What about the cuts to the disadvantaged autistic children and also the attention deficit disorder children? They're left with no programs, if any at all. I say, cut the salaries of the MLAs, the cabinet ministers, and the premier. Cut the new running healthcare ads and other government ads at a cost of $7 million and rising. I'm fed up, are you? It's not BC Liberals and the new era. It's BC Liars and the new era. We can do something. It's in our hands. I have a suggestion. Let's start a volunteer action network of volunteers and seek support and assistance from ordinary people, small business, corporate sponsors to help feed our kids in the interim. What if they do cut us? What do we do then? Don't tell me why it can't be done. Tell me how we can do it. One further suggestion. I'd like to see us all demonstrate in front of Gordon Campbell's office. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Paul Houl, and I'm a social worker in the city of Vancouver, and I'm speaking on behalf of the BC Association of Social Workers, the Child Welfare and Family Committee. And I just wanted to say that the BCASW is strongly opposed to these huge cutbacks in inner city school funding. The BCASW has taken a stand against the two-year welfare rule and also taken a firm stand against cuts to social housing and favoring help for the homeless. So it is not just the 36% cut that we're facing in the inner city schools in Vancouver. It's also the cumulative effect of all these cutbacks that is quite devastating. Members of BCESW, we work with inner city schools and we work with kids in inner city schools, and these further cuts will be devastating for families already beaten down by cuts to social housing, to daycare, and to income assistance. The inner city school funding is what's saving many needy kids in the school system. Keeping kids in the school and fed is what keeps them visible. And for social workers in the system, visibility of children in the school system is a key word. The school sees these kids 5 days a week, and they are more likely to catch problems developing with the kids and with families when they're visible in the schools. The staff who work with kids such as family advancement workers and others in the schools have been indispensable in holding kids and families together. So the BCSW, in conclusion, urges the provincial government to get its priorities straight. Needy kids should be our first priority. If we can afford the Olympics, we can afford to help our neediest children. And if we can afford tax cuts for our most well-off citizens, we can afford to pay more taxes to help our neediest children. Thank you.